Good morning, Cornerstone. All right. It's good to see you guys with us today. It's good to have those on live stream who are with us that way. We're going to start with this. This is a song that Matt taught us. He sometimes leads up here on a Sunday. And he taught us a couple times. It's called Jesus Strong and Kind. And the reason I chose this to start is Jesus is the place we're supposed to go when we need comfort. Jesus is the place we're supposed to go when we're scared, when we're stressed. And so this is just an opportunity for you to come before Jesus with your stress. If you've been watching the news, you might be feeling stressed about that. If you have stuff with family, you might feel stressed about that. Thanksgiving is coming. So that's great to get together, but sometimes it's also stressful. I understand. So this is just a time for you to come before Jesus, and I'll let you just stay in your seats for now. And you can sing if you want. You can just pray, just talk to God. But this is an invitation to come. Come to Him. Find comfort. Find what you need. He is the one who satisfies.
Jesus said that if I thirst, I should come to Him. No one else can satisfy, I should come to Him. Jesus said if I am weak, I should come to Him. No one else can be my strength, I should come to Him. For the Lord is good and faithful, He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus strong and kind. Jesus said that if I fear, I should come to Him. No one else can be my shield, I should come to Him. For the Lord is good and faithful, He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and said, if I am lost, He will come to me. And He showed me on that cross, He has come to me. For the Lord is good and faithful, He will keep us day. Jesus, Jesus strong and kind. For the Lord is good and faithful, He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind.
Let's just come before Him together. God, we know You're here. We know You love us. And we've come before You with all of our stuff. So God, I pray that as we come together, our hearts will be lifted up as we recognize who You are, what You've done. We recognize your incredible, incredible love for us. God, help us to be overwhelmed, to really take it in who you are and what you've done and how you love us. God, help us understand that. Each person here needs you desperately. And we come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to keep singing. And the theme this morning, we're just going to be looking at how much God loves us. And it's been blowing my mind. Looking at John chapter 15, one verse in John 15 has blown my mind this week. And so hopefully you'll get a little bit of that, hopefully more than a little. But we want to sing about how much he loves us. So would you rise to your feet? We're going to sing some more. The throne of glory, nothing in my hands I breathe, but the promise of acceptance from a good and gracious King. I will give to you my burden. You give to me your strength. Come and fill me with your spirit as I sing to you this praise. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome I lift my voice to the King in need of nothing. Empty-handed, I rejoice. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome with joy, I sing. By your love, I am accepted. 'Cause you're a good and gracious King. Not just words, lift your heart up to him. Oh, what grace that you would see me as your child and as your friend, safe, secure in you forever. I pour out my praise again. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome, I lift my voice to the King in need of nothing. Empty-handed, I rejoice. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome with joy, I sing. By your love, I am accepted. You're a good and gracious King. Oh, oh. Holy, holy Lord Almighty, good and gracious, good and gracious,
good and gracious, holy, holy, Lord Almighty, good and gracious King. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome, I lift my voice to the King in need of nothing. Empty-handed, I rejoice. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome with joy, I see. By your love, I am accepted. You're a good and gracious King. You're a good and gracious King. Oh, 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 you're a good and gracious King.
When was the last time you told God you love him? You ready to do that now?
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. Goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down and surrendered, now I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life.
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. His goodness is running after us. It's caught me. Has it caught you? Lord, we come before you in your love, in your goodness, through Jesus. God, take this time. Make much of it. Thank you for those who are here. There are some here from far away, some here for the first time, some here have been here for years and years. God, but you've brought us together for a reason, and I pray that you will make much of our time here. In Jesus' name, amen. Good to sing these songs, guys. Thank you for singing with us. We're going to dismiss the kids, third grade and under, to Children's Church downstairs. And in the meantime, we have a question of the day. Question of the day is, if you were tasked with recreating Thanksgiving, what foods would you add and what would you take away? Share that with somebody near you. All right.
I don't know if you had an answer right off the top of your head. How many of you would keep turkey? You keep turkey? Some people are like, I don't know about I like turkey. I'm gonna give you something to add. This is a family tradition that is a must for me and has become a must for my family. You probably don't do this for Thanksgiving, but you need to make stuffed dates. Okay? They're dates that are stuffed with peanut butter or cream cheese wrapped in sugar. It's an appetizer for Thanksgiving. You gotta do it. You gotta do it, okay? So that's, if you don't get anything else out of today, don't get that. Oh, yeah. We're in a series called Jesus, the Difference He Makes. This is actually week 9 out of 16. We're in John 15. And this week, this passage I've been studying, these few verses in John 15, Jesus satisfies our need to belong. And our need to belong is really, really important. Really important. And we go to the wrong places, that gets us messed up. Ann and I, we've been married for a long time now. We first began our relationship the summer of 1997. Pretty sure it was 97. And Anna just finished her freshman year at Baptist Bible College. I was in the same school, but I was a senior wrapping up, heading off to seminary. We started talking in the spring, but that summer's when we really started talking and we really started pursuing each other. And the way we did that was through email. Anne was in Zambia with her parents, who happened to be here today, and I was in Central Florida working at Denny's. And from 8,000 miles apart, we emailed each other twice a day. And I printed every one of those emails, and I still have them. I still have them. We did not prefer being that far apart. Anne's like, I didn't keep mine. I know she loves me. It's okay. We didn't enjoy being that far apart, but we definitely enjoyed pursuing each other and being pursued. And that summer was the beginning of a bumpy yet enduring relationship. We belong to each other. And that's a beautiful thing. We really do. Humans have a need to belong. We thrive on loving relationships. You have people in your life who love you. Some of those people are here today. Well, as Jesus communicates with his disciples shortly before he leaves them, one of the most important things he wants to get across to them is how much he loves them. He's not abandoning them. He loves them very, very much. During their 3 years together, they'd formed a really special bond. And Jesus wants them to know that bond is not at risk of breaking just because he's leaving. It's about to grow even deeper. And what Jesus shares with his disciples, he also shares with us. These words are not only for the 11. Originally, they're for the 11, but they're also for us. These words are for us. John chapter 15, verse 9 to 17. Quick review. I don't know if you're familiar with John, but back in chapter 13, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. He's been ministering with them for years, but in that place, he humbly served them. He's the king, he's the master, and yet he gets on his knees, shows his commitment to them, his love for them. Chapter 14, he offers this rich, rich comfort because he warned them, I'm going away, they're scared, they're nervous. No, guys, even though I'm physically leaving you, your fellowship with me will be even sweeter than before. You'll see. You'll see. Chapter 15, he urges them, remain attached to me. Remain attached to me, even in my absence. Yes, that will be possible. It wasn't just a great 3 years. What Jesus had with his disciples is permanent. It's going to keep getting better. So now we're in the middle of John 15, and we get to the core of what Jesus wants to communicate with his disciples. This is it. This is right here. This is in the center of 5 chapters of dialogue with his disciples, right smack in the middle. And this is more than instruction. This is not just some kind of lecture. This is passion. So you and I need to read these words like you might read a long-distance email that just hit your inbox from the person you hope to marry. And I know that's hard to do, but try. Try to hear these words as from a lover getting ready to go on a long, long journey. John 15, starting in verse 9. Jesus speaking. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Look at that first verse that we read. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. I want to just park there for a little bit. Because Jesus didn't just say, hey guys, I love you. That's not what he said. He said, how I love you. How do I love you? He said, I love you with the same love God the Father has for me. And that has boggled my mind these last couple weeks. As the Father has loved me, not because the Father has loved me, but in the same way that the Father loves me, I love you. And I'm sorry, but my love has levels. My love has levels. I bet yours does too. My family gets the highest level of my love. They do. That's how it is. I love you guys too, but you get a different level of my love. And people outside the church, they get a different level of my love. I just met the new pastor at Grace Church, Pastor Will. I like him. Good first impression. I think we're going to hit it off. I think we're going to be friends. I could say I love him, and I would be honest about that. But I don't love him the same way I love you. And I certainly don't love him the same way I love my family. I got levels. But Jesus' love isn't like that. Look what he says. With the same love the Father has for me, I have for you. There's no levels in my love. And guys, I went to seminary, okay? So I've been thinking theological thoughts, deep theological thoughts for a long time. And when I think about God the Father's love for Jesus, God the Son, like up in heaven, like this love they have for each other, that's a different category of love that I don't understand and I can't comprehend and I never will, and that's okay because it's just beyond me. And the love I get, that's like the crumbs that come off the table, and that's enough to satisfy me forever. I can't comprehend the Father's love for the Son. Compared to the Father's love for Jesus, I get the same. What? Jesus doesn't say we get the crumbs. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Two-letter words have just been knocking me around this week. As and so. This is the love that Jesus has for us. It's crazy. This is not the same way we do love. The same love I have for my wife, I have for you. You'd think I'm crazy. It's ridiculous. I'm not there. I'm not. And most of you'd be like, good. Now, if you guys want that same kind of love I have for my wife, I'm not there, but Jesus is there. Jesus is there. Oh, my goodness. This is just boggling my mind. The old song says, behold what manner of love the Father has given to us. Behold this. It's incredible. What does he say next? Now remain in my love. Duh. If I understand this, why would I not want to do that? Remain in my love. You're not going to get better news in your entire lifetime than what we're looking at in verse 9 of John 15. What you're hearing right now, John 15:9, is the best news you will ever hear in all of your eternity. This is it. Jesus loves you with the same love he is loved with by the Father. Let that explode your brain. It's a great thing to dwell on this Thanksgiving. Amen? If you go back to last Sunday, some of you were here, some of you weren't, but the first 8 verses of John 15, this best news ever applies not only to the 11 disciples, right? This applies to all those who are attached to Jesus by faith. That's who this is for. If you're attached to Jesus by faith, you believe Jesus is the Son of God, you've come to him for grace, for salvation, this is yours. We are Jesus' disciples, and we are loved with the same love the Father has for Jesus. But these words are not true for everyone. They're not. Only for those who believe and are trusting in Jesus. And I hope that's you. Jesus says, remain in my love. That's a pretty good idea. How do I do that? We'll keep reading the very next verse. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Okay, how do I remain in Jesus' love? He makes it plain and simple. Do what he says. Do what he says. And again, Jesus is comparing our relationship with him with Jesus' relationship with the Father, right? He says, I remain in my Father's love by obeying his commands. In the same way, you remain in my love by obeying my commands. But remember, our obedience is not coming from duty. It's coming from love. Watch your motivation. Why do you want to draw near to God? Why do you want to obey his commands? We do it because we love him. I don't obey Jesus because I'm afraid he's going to pull back his love the moment I mess up. That's not how his love works. I'm secure in his love. It's not going anywhere. No, I want to do what pleases him because that's how I express my love to him. It's kind of like a way we move toward God even when he's not physically present. And this is a new concept for the disciples. I want to move toward God. I want to stay close to God. I do what he says because I love him. It's kind of a way you can snuggle up to God. You ever think of your relationship with God that way, snuggling up to God? Some of you maybe not. But he says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. I hope this doesn't make you feel too awkward. It's okay if you feel a little bit awkward, but I enjoy snuggling with my wife. I forgot to ask her if we could talk about this. It's okay. She says it's okay. I like to snuggle with my wife after a long, stressful week or a hard day. I love to just feel her head on my shoulder, just rest there. And she finds rest there, and I find rest there. I like to be there. I feel peace in that place. And I needed some of that this week. But what if while my wife comes close to me and snuggles up and rests her head on my shoulder, she just kind of looks up and starts plucking nose hairs out of me one at a time? Ugh. My peaceful feeling would soon evaporate, right? That would not feel quite so good. Some of you are disgusted. I can't believe. That's why I didn't ask if I could share it. Ignoring God's commands while trying to be close to God is a little bit like that. Except it's not only annoying, it's actually offensive. And maybe a better comparison would be if Ann and I are cuddled up on the couch together and I lit up a cigarette and start blowing smoke in her face. Cuddle time would be over for a long time. I'm not a smoker, never have been. But if I did that to her, we would not be cuddling. She would forgive me eventually, I think. But my goodness. We express our love to God by doing what he says. Not as a way to keep him close, but simply because we love him and want to please him. I would never do that to her because I know how she would take it. And I don't really want to smoke a cigarette either. Anyway, let's keep going. That's what my wife would say. Let's move along. Verse 11. What does he say next? I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. With a strong, loving relationship, when I understand the love God has for me, when I grasp that, joy comes. I told you this so that my joy can be in you and your joy can be complete. It's a byproduct of recognizing the love he has for us and being in that relationship. Joy just comes, and that makes sense. And I think I talked about this recently before, but if you think about somebody you had a crush on, somebody you just thought about them all the time, and maybe you have to go back a long time for that. Maybe you're in that right now, but it's kind of fun to have a crush on somebody. You just want to see them. You just want to accidentally bump into them in the hall. You just think about them all the time, and then you find out they like you too. Like, woo, fireworks. Like, I am drunk on love right now. They like me too. That's joy. That's kind of a superficial example. But the idea that somebody likes me, that somebody wants me. The feeling and the commitment that God has for us is much more than a crush. God likes us. He wants us. He's committed to us. He loves us. And the intensity of his love for us is the same as the love he has for his son, Jesus. And it'll never fade, never go away. God loves us. We belong. That's joy. That's a solid place to be. Where do we go from there? We can just kind of frolic in that. But he's continuing, and he says, my command is this: love each other as I've loved you. He just said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. Now he gets specific. Here's how I intend for you to obey me. This is the command: love each other. But don't miss that tiny little word right after that. Two-letter word: as. Love each other as I have loved you. Where'd we see that little tiny word before? Verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now he says, you love each other as I have loved you. Guys, we could string all this together to say, as the Father loves Jesus, Jesus loves me, and as Jesus loves me, I'm called to love other people. Right? That makes sense, right? And that first part is really, really cool. Really, really good. The second part, really, really hard. Really, really impossible. Right? As you love me, are you serious? That's hard. And you could maybe sugarcoat it. Oh, it's not that bad. Just have those loving feelings and pray. No. Next verse, he gets clear about it. Greater love is no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. No sugarcoat. This is what he's talking about. Without a pause, he throws out the ultimate display of love. Lay down your life. And of course, the disciples don't get it yet, but we know this is exactly what Jesus is just about to do. Literally lay down his life for his friends. And I love the fact that Jesus uses the word friends here. Isn't that sweet? He doesn't just love us, he likes us, he chooses us, he wants us. His love is clearly sacrificial. He will lay down his life. But his love is also emotional. He wants to do this. Not because this is not an errand for the Father. He wants to do this because we matter to him that much. He wants to lay down his life because we matter to him that much. This is a rescue mission for people he loves with all of his heart. He would rather die than lose us forever. And I know some people have a really hard time believing that God really, really loves them. Personally, by name. People struggle with that. So I want to ponder that for a minute. I want to step away from John 15 just for a minute and think about, okay, what makes us so sure God loves us? And these are just kind of top of my head things. What do I find in the Bible? What are some of those things that have encouraged me along the way? I mean, the first one, most important, absolutely. He sent his son Jesus to die so we didn't have to. How do we know he loves us so much? He sent Jesus to die so we didn't have to. John 3:16, God loved the world so much he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Who do you love enough to send your son to die in their place? I didn't think so. Me either. That's what he did. Next one came to my mind. Before he had even made the world, we were already in his head. Ephesians 1:4. He chose us in him before the creation of the world. You didn't exist and you were in his head. The crush thing, he had you in his mind. It wasn't a crush, but he wanted you then before there was anything. How much does he love you? Before there was anything, he loved you. John 14 tells us he wants to be with us all the time. We looked at that recently. He said, we, the Father and I, the Son, we will make our home with you. We're going to come. We're going to make our home with you. We're going to be with you. We want to be with you. Next one, he's getting this huge party ready. A wedding supper, he calls it, Revelation 19. Huge party. The relationship he wants with us is compared to a marriage throughout the Bible. Guys, that's the most intimate relationship that exists. And that's what he uses. It's what I want with you. Keep going. There's more reasons that we are sure he loves us. He gives us precious gifts to help us and help others. These gifts, he's thinking of us. He's investing in us. Ephesians 4, he gives us different gifts. He puts people in the church together to build each other up, to help each other, to strengthen us, to make us what he wants us to be. He gives us gifts. He's thinking of us. And for later, he gives these eternal rewards to those who love him. The crown of life, the crown of righteousness. I have no idea what that's going to be like. These are rewards he has planned from the beginning of time. And the last one, which is not the last one, just the last one for today, he has plans to spend all eternity with us, all of forever. Maybe there's certain people in your life you can't wait to get away from. That's not how Jesus feels about you. I want to spend all of forever with you. All of forever, Revelation 21, 22. He says, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. That's what he wants. Is there any way God could love us more than he does? I don't think so. I was going through this morning, I was like, well, yeah, one thing, he could make this happen now. Bring us home. Let us experience it now. But you know why he doesn't do that? Because there's more people that he loves that aren't here yet. He's not ready to blow the whistle because there's more he loves just as much as he loves us. So he waits. Does God really love us? You tell me, does God really love us? Does God really love us? Yes, absolutely, without reservation, without hesitation, without limitation. He absolutely, as the Father loves Jesus, Jesus loves us. And in that most loved position, God calls us to love others with the very same love. And that, my friends, is what you call tall order. A love that sacrifices, not just because Jesus asked you to, but because you want to. A love that gladly puts someone else ahead of yourself. Not, there's the ultimate expression, I would step in front of the train for you. That hardly ever happens. We're talking about giving them the bigger slice of cake. We're talking about letting them sit in the front seat. Again, we're talking about letting them pick the show that you're going to watch at night. We're talking about, I'm going grocery shopping with that person in mind. I'm going to start dinner right now because I'd rather crash on the couch, but I'm going to do that because that'll be a blessing to them. We're talking about, I'm going to give them the money that I had actually had bookmarked for that. It can't just be that thing that would only happen once and then you're dead. It's the thing that happens every day in the little moments. I love you like Jesus loves me. It's hard. That's hard. It's a lot easier to step in front of a train than to love somebody every single day when you're tired, when you're grouchy, when you had a bad day. This is hard. This is the way Jesus loves us. Let me just remind you, Philippians 2. Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or held onto, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross.
And the verse before that says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Man. Let me just ask you this right now. Who's getting that kind of love from you? Make yourself a little list. Who's getting that kind of love from me? That might be a next step thing to think about. You got some room to grow? I do. I am not there. Don't we all, man? I'm grappling with this idea. As the Father loves me, so do I love you. Are my levels of love okay? Is that okay? I mean, think about Jesus. He spent more time with Peter and John, and he spent a few, and then he spent a little bit less time with the 12, and then all these other people. He had kind of had levels of love, a little bit, maybe. But at the same time, as the Father loves me, so I love you, says to his disciples, us. So is the goal equality? Did we just give the same amount of love to everybody? Should maybe I lower the bar on how much I love my family so I can maybe reach this? I hope you're thinking, no. Do I need to raise the bar on how I love you? Probably. Can we possibly love others like Jesus loves us? Can we possibly do this? This is hard, and I think it's kind of impossible. We can't do it like God does. But as we absorb the absolutely astounding reality that Jesus loves us the same as God loves him, our hearts change. We change. We are filled. The truth we're thinking about today has the potential to satisfy our need to belong. I belong to him. I'm good. I'm okay. When my need for belonging is satisfied in Jesus, I have security. I have peace. I have that joy. I don't get my need to belong from other people. I'm secure in Jesus' love for me, and that frees me up. It doesn't free me up to distance myself and be like, I don't need you. It frees me up to love them even when they don't love me. That's what that does. Without expectation, without need or fear of rejection, that's a healthy place to be. That's what we have. That's what we've been given. That's where I want to live, in that peace-giving security of God's love for me so I can freely love others even when their love for me is lacking. That's what we want. Has verse 9 touched you at all? As the Father loves the Son, so the Son loves you. May need some more time to process this. But as you do, you're going to want to love him back. You're going to want to love him back. How do we do that? He told us how we do that. We can spend time alone with God. We can snuggle up with him on the couch. We can tell him how much we love him. We can sing to him, journal, pray. We can do all that, and all that's good. But the one thing Jesus gives us here in John 15, if you want to show your love for God, then you practically, tangibly love the people around you. That's what he says. Live a life of love. I'm a far cry from loving people like Jesus loves me. I still got levels, and maybe that's okay. Maybe there's room for that. But Jesus says the fruit of a life attached to Christ is a life of love. Yes, love for family, but love beyond family. It's more than that. So I'm thinking like, okay, God, how do you want to apply this to me? Like, I'm just blown away by this, and I need to figure this out. How do you want me to grow in love? I want to take a step here, and God gave me a specific application step for me that's probably not the same as what's going to be for you, but I've started working on my next step already, so I'm just going to share it with you. There's something that I've wanted to do for a really long time. I believe that I need to love you better. I want to love you better, and there's a specific way that I want to do that. This is just a little baby step for me, right? I mean, I don't love the way Jesus loves me. I don't love you that much yet. I want to grow, but specifically, I've wanted to take this step. I want to do this. Outside of my immediate family, I'm really bad at remembering people's birthdays. I'm just really bad at that, and I want to get better. So my next step is to write down all of your birthdays in my day planner for 2024. If you've given it to me, if it's in the church directory, going to put it in there. Found out we had a wrong birthday this week, so hopefully we have the right birthdays. But I want to write those down, and with God's help, I'm going to do a better job remembering you on your birthday. So my wife's birthday is this Friday, and I love her. I want to treat her special. There was something she wanted for her birthday, so I drove out to Moton this week to get it. Something she wanted Found it for a good deal. She likes it when I get a good deal, so this is kind of a double whammy. Good deal, something she wants. She doesn't know what it is yet, but she probably does because she always figures things out. So I drove to Moton to get her something that she's going to get on Friday. I'm probably not going to drive to Moton for you guys, but I do want to remember you on your birthday. I want to grow. I want to do that. I think that's a next step for me because Jesus' love for me is incredible. My love for you is lacking sometimes. My love for my family is lacking. I have room to grow. And that's okay. We all do. We all do. So I'm thankful that you don't have to be dependent on my love to satisfy your need to belong. You don't need to depend on that. We're all a work in progress. But Jesus, he loves you just as the Father loves him. His love for you is perfect. And we have a solid grasp on that. And you're remaining in that. You will find your need to belong is satisfied. You will feel a security in that. Because you belong to Christ. There's nothing more secure than that. So this Thanksgiving, when you get together with whoever you're getting together with, if and when things start to go sideways, there's conflict, there's tension, there's misunderstanding, some of you are going to experience that this weekend. It's going to happen. Remind yourself of Jesus' words. As the Father loves Jesus, Jesus loves you. Let that fill you up. Let that settle you down and empower you to keep on loving those people even when they're hard to love. They need this too. And we can show them. So let me give you a minute to think about your next step. I shared mine. One may just be to spend some more time processing God's love for you, thinking about this passage. Another is to just ask God, I know this is the one. It's going to be hard for me to love. God help me. God help me. Okay? Just take a minute. What's your next step? We pray together. God, we've been thinking about your love for us, and it's pretty overwhelming to try to comprehend this. But help us. Help us to understand. Help us to grasp it a little bit better. God, your love for us is more than we can possibly fathom. It's more than crumbs. So God, I pray that we would snuggle up to you and that we would get close to you and be able to do these things you've called us to do, you've invited us to do in your strength. With your help, God, may we be overwhelmed with your love and changed by it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we're going to end with this song that is, some people have felt it's kind of a controversial song. There's a word in it that people have a problem with. It's called reckless love. And people say, well, God doesn't have reckless love. He knows what he's doing. And I agree with you. I agree that that's absolutely true. But when you think about the people he chose to love, it just seems kind of crazy. Why he'd do it? Why would he do it? So I hope you can overcome that little stumbling block that sometimes his love just seems crazy. So can we just give him thanks and respond to his love? You rise to your feet, sing with us. Spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. Oh, you have been so, so kind to me. Think about that. Ephesians 1 tells us it's true. Deserve it, still you give yourself away. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
You won't climb up. no wall you won't kick down, no lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Deserve it, still you give yourself away. For the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. For the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. For the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Amen. God, thank you. You didn't have to do that. You shouldn't have done it, but you did it. God, we receive your love. We receive your grace. We receive your goodness. Thank you. Change us by it. Make us like you. Help us love. We need help. But you're here. You are our help. So, Lord, be strong. Be strong in us. Give us strength to love well when it's hard. And give us some opportunities when it's easy to love too, because we need that. Thank you for the people who love us. Thank you for putting us together in relationships and for promising an eternal relationship with you. God, we pray, we thank you, we praise you and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can have a seat.
Well, I hope that was encouraging to you. I hope that lifts you up, fills you up. I can't fill you up myself, but man, there's some truth in God's word that fills us up. So I pray that that happened and that will continue and stay with you throughout the week. We've got some things going on coming up I want to make sure you're aware of. There are two parties coming up. I think I have a slide for this. There's a Saucony Cross Christmas party. We've done this for years. We're doing it again. We're preparing a meal. Just everybody's volunteering to put something together, to bring something over, and we just have a meal with them at Saucony Cross. We sing Christmas carols. We just have a good time, and we eat a dinner with them. So that's coming up in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks. It's 13 days from today. So I'll send another email out. If you're not on the email list, fill out the information card, the connection card, put that in the offering box back in the back. If you want to know what's going on, hear about that, there's a link to just say, hey, I'm going to bring lasagna, I'm going to bring vegetables, whatever. So hopefully many of you guys can join us for that. There's also a church Christmas party, which is just going to be us, whoever's part of our church family. We're going to get together on the evening of December 17th, 5 o'clock. We're going to have tables up here, and we're going to have kind of light food. It's not going to be a heavy meal. It's just going to be a Sunday evening time to just hang out together and have some fun and just be together and celebrate Christmas. So hopefully you got time for that, can make time for that. But two different Christmas parties, one for Saucony, we join them, and one is just us getting together. So hopefully you can have time for that and join us. There's a connection card attached to your program. If there's stuff you need prayer for, if you're like, I need really help loving in a certain way, like, you write that down. That can go to me. That can go to the prayer team. If you wanted to, you just tell us where you want it to go. And this is also a way, if you're new around here and we don't know you, this is my secret way of learning your name. So put your name on there, and then I'll be able to remember it. So now Bonnie was here, like, I don't know, maybe it's been a year now, but that's how I learned your name, from this card. So thank you, those of you who've done that, maybe many years ago. But that's what that's there for. The offering box is in the back
And there's refreshments downstairs if you want to hang out for a while, get to know each other, hang out, and just enjoy some fellowship. Shannon will be back. She's usually the one up here to share announcements. She will be back next week, as far as I know. Lord willing, Shannon will be here to share some things with you next week. She's been having quite an adventure overseas, and she's almost home. So thank you guys for being here. Thank you for taking some time in Scripture with us. I hope you're blessed. Hope you have a blessed day.